What role, if any, did ministers play in early America, in particular during the founding era? Now, we know that many of the early settlements were founded by ministers, and that was the whole purpose of the creation of that particular colony. That was certainly true with the Pilgrims and the Puritans and the Bible settlements, if I could call them that, that they created. But what about ministers around the time of the founding of America? In other words, the 1770s. We celebrate America 250 years ago, around the time of the Declaration of Independence. Were ministers basically just focusing on spiritual things, but not political developments? Stephen McDowell is the president of the Providence Foundation, not to be confused with Providence Forum, for which I am privileged to serve as the executive director. It's a part of Coral Ridge Ministries. Stephen McDowell joins us now to discuss ministers and America at 250. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point. And Stephen, it's always a pleasure to have you on the program. Thanks again for joining us.
Well, it's my pleasure. Good to be with you again, Jerry.
Sure. Okay, so I think it's safe to say that even the ACLU would agree that ministers were involved in the early settlements in America. Of course, the ACLU might say, and that's why they were bad or something like that. But such people like that wouldn't, that is like the ACLU and so forth, would not even give the Puritans the credit they deserve for things like widespread literacy, starting Harvard and Yale and Dartmouth and, you know, all kinds of things, civil laws and so forth, you know, kind of the predecessors to civil liberties. But here's the question. By the time you get to the founding era, let's say the Stamp Act, 1765 through around 1800. Where were ministers playing any kind of part in America? And you go ahead and wax eloquent, sir.
You know, a lot of people have written books addressing this subject of the role of ministers in the founding of America and in the founding era. One of the earlier ones was a gentleman, John Wingate Thornton, who wrote The Pulpit of the American Revolution, published in the mid-19th century. But his conclusion was, he said, to the pulpit, the Puritan pulpit, we owe the moral force which won our independence. So first, setting up the whole idea that we even got to the point where we were grappling with our rights and liberties and standing up against the tyranny of King George and the Parliament. For decades before this, pastors were preaching the ideas. A lot of these sermons were printed, by the way, and became political textbooks that shaped the founding fathers' thinking. And so about every subject principle, biblical principle of liberty that we can find in the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution, you can find a minister preaching a sermon on it in the years prior to that, from the law of nature, nature's God, the purpose of government, the limited nature of government. Government is a divine institution, the consent of the governed, and we could go on and on and on. So they're the ones that provided the political ideas that are then manifested in our founding covenants. They, of course, produced the moral force, the character in the people as well. But they participated directly in many ways throughout the founding of America, as you pointed out, and throughout the American Revolutionary period. They continued to pray. You know, our nation was burst in prayer. I think we've talked about that before. I'm sure you have as well. But they continued to pray during this time. But it wasn't just private prayer, and it wasn't just prayer in churches, but it was public prayer, because they proclaimed many days of prayer and thanksgiving and prayer and fasting. They continued to teach these ideas, like Jonas Clark up in Lexington, Massachusetts, who had, you know, the shot fired that started the American Revolution was on his church lawn, April 19th, 1775, and he had prepared his members with how to reason out their rights that would enable them to stand up against the tyranny. So they prayed, they taught ideas of liberty in our our founders acted upon them. They provided leadership as well in many areas of religious liberty and civil liberty and a God-given inalienable rights. They continued to teach these ideas during the Revolution, such things as a defense of war and a just cause is sinless before God. That became very pertinent when it looked like we might have to fight. And then when fighting broke out, a lot of them fought. Now, many of them were chaplains praying with the troops during the war. Washington encouraged the chaplaincy because he knew we needed God's help and guidance. And some of these chaplains, you know, went on to become fighting chaplains. You have some, they said, they felt, well, we need to more than just pray and lead the troops in prayer, but I'll take up arms and fight to defend our God-given rights and liberties, like Peter Muhlenberg of Virginia, who became a major general serving under Washington. And the stories of so many of these pastors are fabulous to know and to learn, because you see that they prayed, they taught, they provided leadership, and they fought. But let me just mention kind of the influence of just one clergyman in early America to show you how much the great role that they played in the birth of America, and that was Reverend John Witherspoon. John Witherspoon was a Presbyterian pastor who was invited. He was lived in Scotland, and he was invited by the leadership of the College of New Jersey, we know it now as Princeton University, to come and serve as its president. In 1768, he came over, and he began to disciple and train all the men who came to study. And of course, college then was much different than today. He had at the most maybe 50 students in any one year, but he trained them, he discipled them, he prayed with them. He didn't just come in and give a lecture, and you didn't see until the next lecture, but it was a discipling process. And he trained many that went into the pulpit ministry, but he also trained leaders in every sphere of life. And during his tenure of a few decades, he trained one president, James Madison, who is also the chief architect of the Constitution, one vice president, 3 Supreme Court justices, 10 cabinet members, 12 governors, and 60 congressmen, plus 1/5 of the signers of the Declaration of Independence and 1/6 of the members of the Constitutional Convention were trained by John Witherspoon. So here's a man who literally discipled the nation, just like Jesus said that we're to do. And so this is just one example of the role that a pastor played in shaping. You know, he trained the men who gave birth to this nation. So when we talk about the founding fathers, as John Adams was once asked, well, who are the founding fathers? He began to list ministers. Well, you got to mention Reverend Jonathan Mayhew and Reverend Samuel Cooper and many others, because he recognized the vital role that they played in the birth of our nation. So without the pastors, there would be no United States of America as we know it today.
So in effect, then, when the ACLU types are basically saying, okay, by the time you get to the founding fathers, everybody's all secular, but you're saying, no, the influence of the Pilgrims and the Puritans and the Quakers and the Presbyterians or whatever continued to the day of the founding as well.
Yeah, they certainly did. You just look at the presidents of the colleges. All of them were ministers, which was true actually through almost till the end of the 1800s. So they were the main educators in the nation, shaping the action of everybody who was involved in civil affairs and business and everything else. So they were major educators, and they served in leadership directly themselves in civil government, many of them.
You know, this reminds me of something. I got to interview a few times Marshall Foster, the late Marshall Foster, the author of the book The American Covenant. And I remember one of the things he said is that when the Constitution was needing to be ratified, the last state to ratify it, it was pushed over the goalpost, if you will, because of a sermon delivered by the president of Harvard, or maybe he was the former president by that time, Samuel Langdon. But it was a sermon that he preached, and he was using, it was all based on the Bible, and the goal of it was to get them to accept the Constitution, and they did. And, you know, and yet we're somehow left with this idea that, well, the founding fathers were a bunch of deists, and they had no interest in you know, promoting God, you know, in the affairs of men. It's like, wow, we've been robbed of our heritage.
Yeah, you're exactly right that the ministers played a central, vital role in every aspect of it, in helping to ratify the Constitution. Of course, you know, from the very beginning of the constitutional gathering of leaders from all the 13 colonies, they invited ministers to come and pray. And so they had been praying from them for wisdom and understanding from the very beginning. But as you point out, their sermons shaped the worldview of all Americans more than anything else. You know, it's estimated, some guy did a study and concluded your average American heard about 15,000 hours of sermons during his lifetime. That would have been the equivalent to, you know, the amount of TV people watch today or you know, are on their social media outlets scrolling through things. 15,000 hours, and it's even more astounding when you recognize they didn't have any competing voices. They were the major newsmen. They were the major educators, not only imparting theological ideas, but worldview in every sphere of life. And so that in itself shows you how they shape the worldview of every American, those that led us in these fields, but your average farmer and everything, everyone else as well, knew how to reason out their rights as Christians because their pastors would teach those things. And they taught not only theological ideas, but they taught biblical worldview. You know, we have thousands of sermons that are preserved from early American time. And I have probably at least four volumes or more than that, four or five volumes of books that have been compiled of sermons from early American history, the first few centuries of American history, especially in the 1700s. And there are many others because I've read probably hundreds of these early sermons. And you began to recognize that the pastors preached on everything imaginable. Yes, theological ideas, but when anything happened, they wanted to evaluate it in light of Scripture. If they had a big fire, they'd say, well, what's God saying in this? When they saw a comet, they would preach a sermon. You know, what can we learn from God who reveals himself in the heavens? If they had an earthquake, then they would try to assess what God was saying in that. But when they needed to know about a defensive warrant, a just cause is sinless, there'd be a sermon preached. Or if we had an unjust tax imposed upon us, like the Stamp Act, they would preach a sermon. One guy preached a sermon, called it a discourse on the good news from a far country. And that was in response to the repeal of the Stamp Act when the Americans had resisted that unbiblical tax. So
now we have about 40 seconds left. How about a thought about the Election Day sermons? That fits that same idea of what you're talking about.
Yeah, those began in the 1630s in New England. Each year when they elected new officials, they would appoint a pastor to preach a sermon. And he would preach to the elected officials, here are your God-given duties, and this is how you're to govern. He'd preach to the people listening, here's how you can be good citizens. They were printed and became the political textbooks of early America, these election sermons. And they actually were part of our history for over 250 years. So that's one type of sermon that shows the great influence they had in civil affairs.
ProvidenceFoundation.com for more information. Stephen McDowell, thank you so much. All the best.
Thank you.